Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to 48 Hours ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Need more true crime in your life? An Audible membership can solve that. Audible is the ultimate destination for thrilling audio entertainment. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. Don't miss The Serial Killer's Apprentice by Katherine Ramsland and Tracy Allman. It follows the true story of how Houston's deadliest murder turned a kid into a killer in training. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/48hours or text 48 hours to 500-500. That's audible.com/48hours or text 48 hours to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/48hours.
If you're a fan of 48 Hours or true crime, looking to try on a case of your own, June's Journey is for you. A thrilling hidden object mystery game set against the backdrop of the 1920s. You play as June Parker, an amateur detective trying to unravel your sister's mysterious murder. As you dive into a world filled with twists and turns, trust no one. Every character could be hiding secrets. While you piece together the intricately woven plot, you'll collect crucial information in your photo album, turning suspicions into facts. And if you want help on the case, you can even join a detective club to collaborate or compete with fellow sleuths on hundreds of puzzles. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
It was just sky's the limit for a 21-year-old that was talented and that everybody loved. I'm Kevin Harris's dad. Okay, he's my son and he was named after me. It was gonna be a Sunday like any other, even if he didn't go to church that day. He was naive. Kevin, trusting soul, maybe a little too much. He'd say, "Why you gotta tell everybody I'm your son?" I said, "Because I'm proud of you." My best friend, my teammate. I haven't been able to watch a father take his son to the park with a ball, you know, for a while, so. He was making a name for himself. As I heard where Britney and Rihanna actually were interested in some of his material.
Kevin always had it.
The beats were great. I knew he was gonna make it. Some people have that thing where it's like, you're relentless to a point where nothing can stop you. The stuff that he would send me was a lot of like, an R&B feel mixed with like pop and hip hop, church, like gospel, like those chords.
A lot of things were happening too quickly. We can get it poppin'. We can get it poppin'. Videos, camera shoots, Ice Cube track, and he went to that doggone studio that night. And that happened.
Last day, and he kissed me on my left cheek. He hugged me, and he just held me, and I said, "What's wrong, Kevin?" And he said, "Nothing, Mom." He said, "Everything's just happening so fast, I feel like something's going to happen." I said, "Don't think like that."
10 to 17 shots, two different handguns. How much do you have to kill him? A lot of suspicious things happened that night. The clues are absolutely out there. We just need that one piece, that one smoking gun.
A sense of safety is important to everyone, and that's why I want to talk to you about Simply Safe. It's an advanced security system that protects your entire home so you can rest easy. Simply Safe is completely customizable with advanced sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. You can have 24/7 professional home monitoring for less than $1 a day. So try Simply Safe for 60 days risk-free. If you don't love it, you can return your system for a full refund. Plus, we're offering listeners 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Don't wait. Visit simplysafe.com/48hours. That's simplysafe.com/48hours. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Time is of the essence. I hate how long my breath takes. Those are the words of Kevin Harris on his Twitter account in the summer of 2009. Kevin was just 21 when he was gunned down shortly after 8 p.m. on a September Sunday that same year. He had been sitting in his car alone in Inglewood, California, a small city in Los Angeles, close to LAX.
I got a call at 9:15. Are you at the hospital? I said, for what? What happened? What's wrong? Kevin's been shot.
Kevin Harris Sr. is Kevin's dad.
We ran every light just to be told that we couldn't see him.
I was in denial.
Catherine is his mother.
The night that he was murdered, and I do say murdered, people like to say he passed. He did pass on, but someone actually took the time to murder him.
The Harrises couldn't believe that somebody wanted their son dead.
This is Kevin.
This was during the photo shoot that they had, so.
Handsome, confident.
Very confident.
Tell me about your angel.
Our angel. She called him Angel Face.
His mother?
His mother.
I wish you could have met him. He was a beautiful man.
And he was still close with his childhood friends, like Cameron Woods.
We've known each other since we were like 2-3 years old. We continue going to the same school with each other all the way to here.
It's still so fresh.
Yeah, hold on. Sorry.
What are you thinking?
I don't want to cry. It's a little harder.
A little.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know that, right? What do you miss most about him?
His smile. His generosity. Never heard anybody tell me anything bad about him. Say anything bad about him. Never really heard him say anything bad about anyone. Besides maybe a few, you know what I mean? No one's perfect. But he was close. He was close to that.
The Harrises led by example, working hard. Dad at the LA airport and selling cars, and mom working retail. They were regulars in church, and they sent Kevin to a Catholic school.
She and I were like helicopter parents, under surveillance at all time.
as a form of protection.
Yes. If he hadn't come home at a certain time, I would text a question mark. Just knowing the possible hearts that lay out there in the street.
One of Kevin's hobbies, Cameron says, was hanging out with his mom.
Spending time with his mom.
Really?
Yeah, he loved, yeah.
Wait. A teenager enjoying spending time with his parents?
I don't know if I should say it, but he was like kind of like a mama's boy, but I mean, I'm a mama's boy, so.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Kevin was a perfect date.
Jasmine Tanner was Kevin's high school sweetheart.
Not really a huge dancer, but like, you know, he had his little two-step that he would do. Everything that he did was from a very loving place.
The Harrises kept their son involved in sports, especially basketball.
I'll take you through my house right now, right here in my room.
But his real calling was music. Much of the music you're hearing in this broadcast is his.
See, that's all you need right here is a little kid right here. See, turn up the music for a second. See, you got all that. Got the turntables. Get your mix on.
He taught himself to play.
He taught himself. He had rock, he had classics, he had jazz, East Indian music.
Soon after high school graduation, Kevin landed a gig apprenticing at a local music studio.
Yeah, he started bobbing that head, and then he just, the next thing you know, he's like, oh, well, listen to this, and then he'll click something. It's like going to the next level.
By the summer of 2009, he'd stacked up hundreds of hours in the studio. He began breaking into the Los Angeles hip-hop scene.
But he just wanted to be the best producer ever.
Yeah, that is, y'all.
Kevin's vibe was, he was comfortable with himself.
Sonia Teklai is a poet and singer, one of a number of artists working with Kevin.
I had never felt comfortable in recording sessions until my sessions with him. And a lot of times, like, you know, guys are just trying to, like, get at girls and do all these things, but he stayed in his lane. He was focused on his work.
As Kevin's career picked up speed, he bragged about working at a big fancy studio where Michael Jackson once recorded Thriller.
And he was like right there. And I'm like, you know, like a pinball, and you get your ball ready and you pull it back and then let go.
But everything would soon come to an abrupt and violent end.
My naive, loving son probably just could have been possibly sleeping with the enemy, and I had no idea.
This day, no one has been charged for the murder of Kevin Harris.
They thought, we're going to do this sneaky stuff here, and we'll get away with it. They effed with the wrong father this time.
Kevin Harris Sr. is determined to change that. He spent the past 11 years seeking justice for his namesake.
I never got to speak to Kevin that day at all. I went to work at 9 a.m., he was still asleep, and I looked in on him and I left.
That Sunday morning in the summer of 2009, Kevin shared breakfast with his mother, Catherine.
I saw the plate, the paper, the napkin, the last carton of juice. I have all of that from that day.
You've memorialized him.
I just love him. I love him.
Retracing their son's steps, the Harrises say nothing seemed unusual that day.
From what I hear, at some point he wound up at a Pop Warner football game, and then later on he went to his aunt's.
Karen Staden is the last known person to see Kevin alive.
He was his regular happy-go-lucky self. Hi, Auntie. How you doing? What'd you cook? And he stayed. We ate, we laughed, we talked.
And after a few hours, Kevin left, saying he was headed to the music studio.
I said, Kevin, don't go. We're having too much fun. I don't want you to go yet. And he said, Auntie, I have to go because the studio is quiet. No one's there. I can record. I can go over some things. I can write. I can perfect what I'm working on. And we hugged each other, and he was out the door.
He drove to the studio in his beloved green Camaro. He was supposed to meet up with a friend, known in the community as a wannabe rapper. But that friend was a no-show.
A lot of suspicious things happened that night.
The studio was in a converted garage in a residential neighborhood. Kevin arrived, but never made it out of his car. He was shot multiple times from two different guns.
I never expected anything like this to happen to Kevin.
Kevin's friend Jasmine says he didn't have a chance.
To find out that he was shot outside the studio that he loved to go to so much, it was just like nowhere is safe.
The Harrises went to the crime scene no more than 3 hours after their son had been shot. The police were already gone.
It was already cleaned up. It was so weird and strange. It was like, why is this crime scene already done? Car was gone, everything. It seemed as if they were more expeditious in cleaning up their crime scene than they were in trying to find out who did this within the proverbial 24 to 48 hours. That's what it seemed like.
Catherine took what was left behind.
I walked around in front of the studio, and I saw blood, wiped the blood up off the street, and the glass from his window was on the ground. And I used my hands as a broom to gather the glass.
This young man deserves better than what happened here.
There was early speculation that Kevin's death was gang-related, an assumption that upset his father.
You hear shot and killed, the first thing you want to say is drive-by. Was he in a gang? No. No, he wasn't. He was just a loving young man with a heart as big as his church.
Music journalist Ramon Duke says no matter how innocent the victim is, people assume a crime like this is gang-related.
Because he's a young black man.
So it's automatic?
Yeah. And specifically within that neighborhood, 100%.
Young black man shot.
In the music business, yeah. Those are all elements.
And the odds of solving crimes with those elements are slim. For one thing, witnesses can be hard to find.
People in these communities, they stick together. When these situations occur, they're like, I'm not dealing with the law enforcement. They weren't here to help us. Why are we gonna help them? I have seen people step forward, but the majority of the time, that doesn't happen.
Why?
A lot of times because they're afraid. That person still has to live in that neighborhood. There might be some retaliation. There's this mentality where it's like, just mind your own business.
As time passed, Kevin's parents felt that the police pushed their son's case to the back burner, even when they tried to help.
And they would tell me, just go home. Just go home. We'll take care of this.
We let the law enforcement handle it. Unfortunately, it didn't work. It was sat on.
The police told 48 Hours, quote, our hearts go out to the parents and family of Kevin. The Inglewood Police Department has done everything possible to bring closure and justice to the family. The Harrises continued to push for answers. They held memorials for Kevin, inviting the police and local officials. But the stress of losing their son took its toll.
The gun kills more than its intended victim, and it always will.
And after he died, not right away, but a lot of everything that meant everything to our family was destroyed.
2 years after Kevin's murder, the Harrises ended their 23-year marriage. It was a dark time for Kevin Sr. he searched for solace. And he found it in church, a Baptist church in the Los Angeles community of Watts.
My heart is broken, but God has piece by piece put it back together.
Pastor Winfred Bell helped the heartbroken father channel his grief into a newfound purpose, speaking out against gun violence for Bell's organization, Silver Lining of Hope.
My heart has been ripped to smithereens. I really revel in this because it's medicine to my soul to speak about the loss of my son.
Kevin stepped up. When they kill your baby, it's few people that want to fight to fix it so that your baby or my baby or anybody else's baby doesn't suffer the same thing.
Now, more at peace with himself, Kevin Sr. found more will to keep up the long fight to find out who murdered his son. And he was about to get some unexpected help.
We're going to put as much time and energy as it takes. We will not stop. We will figure this out.
Kevin Harris Sr. continued to speak out. 6 years after his son's senseless murder, his heartbreaking story finally had an impact. The local police brought in the FBI to work the case.
When I heard I was going to get a call from the FBI, I felt that all my aggressiveness wasn't in vain.
Have you met the parents?
I have.
The parents are fantastic, and as soon as I met them, we immediately bonded, and they have begged us to just find the people that did this, and that's my commitment to them.
Vaviette Morgan is in charge of FBI criminal investigations in Los Angeles.
I'm vested, so we'll find them, and we'll hold them accountable. Welcome to the new FBI.
I think there was a tough case with, you know, not a lot of evidence. There was no DNA. There was no actual physical touching.
FBI Special Agent Sean Sturley got the case. He started with the crime scene photos. And with what witnesses that did speak out saw, a dark sedan that pulled up next to Kevin Harris's Camaro. The shots were fired from that car.
We believe there were probably three people in the car, the driver and two shooters. They were approximately about 6 inches door to door, so close that the shell casings from the shooter's guns, two of them end up inside Kevin's car.
Also new to the case, former LA detective John Skaggs.
I know the streets and I know how to talk to people.
Where are you taking us?
Right now we're going to the crime scene where Kevin was killed. There's a couple things I need to look at, and then there's a resident that I want to talk to.
Skaggs came out of retirement to work with the local cold case unit and assist the FBI.
So is this a hopeless case or a stalled case?
It is stalled and absolutely not hopeless.
And what's the difference?
Well, there's still clues that haven't been burned out.
This is the street where Kevin was murdered?
Exactly.
Detective Skaggs walks into the house attached to the music studio.
Hey, John Skaggs from Inglewood Police.
And comes out a half an hour later with owner Randy Thomas.
Hey, John.
Hi, how are you? I'm Michelle Miller. It's 48 hours.
So Michelle had a really good talk with Randy. He was friends. He knew Kevin for about 4 years, and Kevin would use his studio for his music.
Randy says by the time he got outside that night, the shooters were gone.
I heard cap, cap, cap. I thought it was firecrackers. Then the neighbor came outside and said, somebody shot.
And you saw Kevin's car?
I saw the green Camaro and I said, oh my God. Oh my God. an ambulance came in a fire truck, and they pulled him out, tried to revive him, but it was bad.
To see him here on the street in front of your house.
Broke my heart. It's almost like someone had to have followed him here.
So you think it was someone he knew?
That I don't know, but I know that no one comes here on Sunday nights.
The new detectives confirmed what Kevin's parents and friends had said all along.
Kevin Harris was really quite a remarkable kid. We probably did somewhere close to 70 to 80 interviews. We could not find anybody who would say anything, you know, closely, remotely negative about him.
And they learned that in the months before his death, Kevin's career was on a roll. This studio was his home base.
It's a lot of steps. Be very
careful. Okay. So you have a sound mixer.
Right.
You have a sound booth.
Right. So this is where we do the music at. And Kevin had a key. He can come anytime he'd like to come.
In the summer of 2009, Kevin was becoming better known by his stage name, Track Bully.
I think he was just really positive about the way his life was going.
I mean, his name was Track Bully for a reason.
Exactly, because his tracks was crazy.
One of the artists Kevin was closest with was Jizzle, a hip-hop poet and rapper seen in this video with Diddy.
I look at this picture and what do you see?
Oh, man, that was just bro, and he was hungry. Like, just trying to figure it out.
But
he got the TB on his hat, the Foot Track Bully.
But by then he was already, like,
lit, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was lit.
And I used to go by Lady G at the time, so he'd be like, what's up, Lady G? Like, man, you got to mess with me on the music, man. And so he finally, like, sent me a batch of beats. We can get it poppin', we can get it poppin', we can get it
poppin', we can get it poppin', we can get it. Jizzle and Kevin worked together on Poppin', a catchy tune they believed could break through and become a hit.
This is Poppin'.
This is Poppin'. Wow.
That's you?
Yeah, man.
Is that him right there?
Yeah. Track Bully right there.
Off to the side.
Yeah.
Kevin was clearly proud of that song. Jizzle may have been the star, but Kevin made sure everyone knew he was the force behind it. And then there was his triumph of scoring a really big sale. It was to hip-hop star Ice Cube, once again, proudly tweeting about his feat.
Right before he was killed, he had sold a track to Ice Cube. I mean, how big of a deal was that?
It's a very big deal. Ice Cube is a legend in music, not just hip-hop, it's music. It's a really big deal.
Kevin's career was skyrocketing, and his dad was feeling a little uneasy.
If I would have had a chance, I would have reeled him back in just a little bit.
Looking back, Kevin Sr. believes his son was playing with fire.
Put it this way, there's not this evil grim reaper with a hood that's just standing around on streets. Normally it's someone that you know or someone you've had an acquaintance with. A friend one day, enemy the next.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Don't waste time on apps that don't work. Babbel's conversation-based teaching prepares you for real-life situations. And studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/truecrime. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/truecrime, spelled BABBEL.com/truecrime. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The new detectives continued to study the crime scene photos.
It's kind of like you see his life right there. I mean, high school basketball player, great outside shooter, his laptop and his hard drive with all his music. So in his car were all his loves, and horribly, that's where he died.
Since Kevin's reputation was golden, they wondered if his death could have been a case of mistaken identity. They learned Kevin wasn't the only one in town with a green Camaro.
There was an active gang member that lived less than two blocks away from Kevin at the time.
That gang member, they say, had a look-alike car.
I was able to interview him. The guy's changed his life, and he's told me about some of the stuff that he was doing back in that day that could easily be a cause for somebody to retaliate against anybody driving a green Camaro.
When you grow up in L.A., no matter how sheltered you are or how strict your parents are, you're gonna run into the culture. It's no secret that Los Angeles does have a gang culture. Even though he wasn't in the streets, I think we all kind of know what that's like. You know, your parents can't protect you from everything.
But detectives now say they took a hard look at that mistaken identity theory and ruled it out. They believe that Kevin rolled down his window to talk to the people who drove up next to him that night, and that he would not have done that unless he knew them.
So they're looking at each other eye to eye. That kind of dispels gang retaliation shooting, where Kevin was misidentified for another gang member.
They were convinced Kevin Harris was the intended target. But why? Were there clues in his surging career? For one thing, in the hip-hop business, you can get rich overnight.
You have, like, really young artists, like 18, 19 years old, and they're millionaires. 2-3 years before that, they probably didn't have $10 in their pocket.
Kevin hadn't made any big money yet, but he definitely was a prospect, a kid with big potential.
He was really hustling, trying to get artists and putting music together and getting his music heard. Kevin was all over the place.
He was putting himself out there. More people, more parties, and his tweets show it. Party in Baldwin Hills. Pool party at the Custom.
There's no other way to kind of attain your goals and aspirations without going at it 24/7. I could just see that in him. You're just showing up where you're supposed to show up and put yourself out there.
Putting himself out there, he was getting a little more flashy. He put extra wide chrome wheels on his Camaro. His dad didn't approve.
Now you're kind of blinging a little bit too much for maybe the average young man. You have to be less visible.
And Kevin was also getting louder on Twitter.
Kevin got real cocky. His name was like really getting out there. I did feel like, you know, maybe he was kind of feeling himself, a little fluffing his little feathers.
I felt like blessing people with my presence, he tweeted. Word was that Kevin didn't want to work with people who weren't up to his level.
When you start getting hot, everybody wants a piece of you. You just can't work with everybody. And sometimes some people get offended by that. Things could happen out of those situations.
And Kevin wasn't shy about calling some people out. That's clear in his tweets. I'm getting bored by my so-called peers. And here he says someone was, quote, exceeding their talent. In the music business, words like that could be a problem.
There's no difference between that and dissing someone in the streets.
What is a diss?
A diss is disrespect. It's a very real thing, and again, it goes back to, like, these street rules.
So a lot of this conversation is through social media, Twitter specifically.
I'm sure that Kevin was aware of it. Did he think it would lead to him potentially losing his life? I don't think so.
Just who was Kevin dissing in those tweets? No one knows for sure. Could it have been that wannabe rapper who stood him up at the studio that night? Was there bad blood between them? The people who knew Kevin best sensed he was uneasy in the weeks before his death.
His demeanor did seem a little different. I couldn't really pinpoint like what it was, but I can tell when someone's vibe is off.
He'll come home. A couple times, I'd see him look back out the door. I'd say, "What's wrong, man? Somebody following you?" Nah, I'm okay.
The Harrises had prepared Kevin for life growing up in a tough neighborhood. There was sometimes gunfire in the area, but they believed they taught Kevin how to avoid it. Still, Kevin Sr. was taken aback by a question his son had.
At one point, he did ask me, "Well, what do you think about bulletproof windows?" I said, "Why?" I said, "Kevin, is somebody bothering you?" "No, it's all right. I'm okay." I said, "Just let me know. I've lived here long enough. We could speak on it. We can get it taken care of peacefully." "No, I'm all right, Dad." It was always, "I'm all right, Dad."
"I love you, Kevin."
But something must have been wrong. After Kevin died, Catherine was surprised to learn that he was thinking of joining the military and getting out of town.
A week after he was murdered, I received a letter from the recruiter's office for him to go see the recruiter. You know, a lot of people say timing is everything, and gosh, I kind of wish it would have came a week earlier.
Kevin Harris never lived to see his recording played on the radio. That song by Jizzle.
I was at work, and then someone told me that it would be coming on. And then I hear it, and I kind of broke down right there. Everybody came running over, you know. I said, that's Kevin. That's my son.
11 years later, his father is putting his faith into the new investigation.
The clues are absolutely out there. We just need that one piece, that one smoking gun that we need to solidify this.
This is an active case, so the detectives won't name the names of anyone they have in their sights. But Skaggs did drop this clue about Kevin's last day.
He had made plans with one of the individuals who's definitely a suspect in this case to meet him at the studio at 8 o'clock. As far as I know, that individual was the only other person that knew that Kevin was going to be at the studio at 8 p.m.
We have now learned that that man was Desmond Carter, the wannabe rapper that Kevin was supposed to meet at the studio that night. He definitely caught the attention of the police. In fact, 48 Hours has learned that Desmond Carter was arrested for the murder of Kevin Harris in 2017. And here's the record. Carter was questioned, but never charged with anything. Authorities told us the evidence they had did not cross the threshold of reasonable doubt. Still, Desmond Carter remains a suspect. That's partly because there had been bad blood between Desmond and Kevin. Word on the street was that Kevin had dissed Desmond by refusing to give him beats. Whatever it was that brought Kevin to the studio that night, authorities suspect it was a trap.
I believe Kevin Harris was set up.
Kevin's own words may support that theory.
10 days or 2 weeks before his death, when he told one of his best friends that something's come up missing, I'm getting blamed for it. I didn't have anything to do with it, but I'm really scared of what might happen.
What had gone missing that Kevin was being blamed for? Was it money? Drugs? Police have told 48 Hours they do not believe that Kevin was dealing drugs.
Somebody blamed him for doing something that they did and blamed him to some big hitters that were going to seek revenge. This is a classic story of a kid who trusted too much in several other people that he didn't really know that well, but he gave them all his trust, and he ended up being killed as a result.
We reached out to Desmond Carter. He didn't want to go on camera or comment directly, but through a friend, he said he had nothing to do with Kevin's death and that he thought of Kevin as one of his best friends.
I'm angry, yes, I'm angry. I'm angry with certain people that were hanging around my son because it has all the earmarks of someone that he knows well that was in the circle.
I grew up at the beach. I really love the ocean, and it's always been part of my life.
Detective Skaggs says walking on the nearby beach helps clear his head and reminds him to be patient.
It does not discourage me. If these cases were easy, they'd all be solved. I know that some of the people that I'm interviewing are not telling me the truth. So, you know, it just makes it so hard.
Detectives are hoping for new information.
There's a ton of circumstantial evidence that kind of ends up adding up into one big significant theory that I think we're very close to proving. We think we're 80, 85% there.
I am fully confident that this case is going to be solved. Yeah, so anybody who has any information about what happened to Kevin that day, whether they were an eyewitness, overheard something at a later date, or later got knowledge of what happened to Kevin and who hurt him, that person needs to come forward for so many reasons. First of all, for justice for Kevin and his family. It's the right thing to do and could be preventing these bad guys from hurting more people.
We really need help from the public and anybody who knows anything about this case and what happened to him and what happened that night to come forward. And that's what our plea is to the public.
As the case stands today, the murder of Kevin Harris remains unsolved.
You still miss him?
No.
What do you miss most?
I just miss his spirit. I think it's just not knowing, you know?
Not knowing.
I'm not supposed to cry. But just not knowing, like to see all that potential, just to see that the path that he was on, to know the support that he had from everyone around him. It's just really unfortunate to not be able to see that just, you know, reach his full potential, you know? So I just miss the spirit. I miss having him around. I miss the fact that we all missed the chance to see how he would grow, you know?
Kevin's parents say they'll never give up.
I have nothing else to do with the grief that I feel every day, but to be motivated by it when I walk out the door each day. Let's kick some doors in. Let's stay relentless with this.
You can't hide from God. You can hide here on Earth, duck and dodge, go to another state, go to another continent, whatever, but you can't hide from God.
The FBI helped fund billboards to help get new information. They've also contributed to a $50,000 reward. The Harrises say the reason they agreed to talk with 48 Hours is their hope this will finally bring justice for their son.
But when I go to sleep, when I dream, he's always there with me. For my son, I'm never going to stop grieving. Murdered. He was murdered.
These pictures are in my room, and to be honest with you, since we resemble each other so much, I turn them backwards. It's kind of hard to look at them all the time like that.
Kevin Harris Sr. doesn't need to look at those pictures anymore because the image of his son is fresh in his mind every single day, and he is consumed with solving this case for one reason.
So I can lay my son's soul to rest properly. His mother and I will make sure his passion and his dream lives on.
The FBI is asking for information from the public. The tip line phone number is 310-477-6565. Take an in-depth look into the investigation to find who killed Kevin Harris at 48hours.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
But police say she confessed to murder. One big problem. You can't hear it.
How do you mess up the confession?
What will a jury believe? 48 Hours, Saturday at 10, 9 central on CBS.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Join me, 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty, on my podcast, My Life of Crime, as I take on true crime investigations like no other. This season, I'm looking into the secrets within families, cutting straight to the evidence and talking to the people directly involved. Enjoy My Life of Crime on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on Wondery Plus.
If you're listening to this podcast, then chances are good you are a fan of The Strange, Dark, and Mysterious. And if that's the case, then I've got some good news. We just launched a brand new Strange, Dark, and Mysterious podcast called Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries. And as the name suggests, it's a show about medical mysteries, a genre that many fans have been asking us to dive into for years, and we finally decided to take the plunge, and the show is awesome. In this free weekly show, we explore bizarre, unheard-of diseases, strange medical mishaps, unexplainable deaths, and everything in between. Each story is totally true and totally terrifying. Go follow Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're a Prime member, you can listen early and ad-free on Amazon Music.